Good morning, everyone. Did you bring your Bibles? You can go ahead and turn to Luke 24 if you want to, but I've been on a series of messages called Make Room. Turn to your neighbor and say, Make Room. This week I heard somebody say, you know, if you try to find time, you'll never find it. So for the things that are important to you, you got to make time. And so what I'm hoping will come out of this series of messages is really a culture of making time, just slowing down, making time for the Holy Spirit to move in our hearts and our lives, right? Is that okay? If you shake your head, I think, well, gosh, they're listening. They really like what I'm saying. Yeah, yeah. And so why don't we just take just a moment right now? And by the way, I want to just say Happy Father's Day to all you fathers. Yeah. Let's just take a moment. Just wait on the Lord here just for a minute. You can just sort of bow your head, close your eyes, or recline, rest. What I'd like for you to do is just slow all the traffic down in your mind. All the things that you've got going on, all the things on your to-do list, all the activities that you have planned for the day. Just kind of set them on the side there. Take just a moment. Just to breathe. Sometimes it helps if I just take a deep breath, you know, just release all the tension, the worries, the cares, the desire for other things, just to let all that go. Just to rest. And what you need to pay attention to while you rest is what am I hearing in my mind? What am I seeing in my mind's eye? This can be dangerous territory if you're not familiar with how the Holy Spirit works, because the devil wants to hop in there and just start telling you all the bad things about you. And so if you hear that today, I just want to just stop that noise now in Jesus' name. If you're born again by the Spirit of God, you are a child of God. His love is undeniable towards you. He cares for you. He loves you. You belong to Him. There's a seat at the table for you. You're the head, not the tail. All things are possible to you. Nothing shall be impossible to you. Some things that some of you are really seeking the Lord about. Some of you carrying bags that you weren't meant to carry, just kind of drop those by the side, let them go, and let the Lord have them. Some of you are worried about its situations and issues you can do nothing about. Those are the kinds you got to let the Lord just carry. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to take just a minute and just prophesy over a couple of you. Is that okay? Is that all right? This young lady right here with a white jacket on. Yeah, you. Would you tell me your name, please?
Stephanie.
Stephanie. Stephanie, would you just stand up? Yeah. And Stephanie, if you just put both hands in there just like that, and I just say to you, Stephanie, that the Spirit of the Lord, His hand is upon you. And that God's been working and moving in your heart and your life here of late. And you've noticed that your desire for God has increased. And the Spirit of the Lord is just drawing you into a deeper relationship. As you have made room for God, He's beginning to draw near to you. And there's an unusual grace of God upon your life. You're very discerning. You have a very discerning spirit. You kind of know things sometimes before they happen. You see things in people that others can't see. You know who to avoid and know who to pull close to you at times. I just see that the Lord is sharpening that prophetic gift in you, the ability to speak into people's lives and bring them encouragement, ability to speak into their lives and being able to comfort them, to edify them, to push them forward in the things that they have in front of them, the challenges that they face. And you face some challenges too. I mean, you've come through a real difficult season, but the Lord says that He's going to use that difficult season in your life to really draw you into a deeper relationship with Him. It's not going to be something that's contrived or something that you can make up, but it's going to be something that's authentic, that is organic, and life-giving. And so the Spirit of the Lord is with you. Spirit of the Lord is upon you. It's the hand of God is upon you. And so this is a real season for you to make time for Him, okay? As you make that time for Him, He's going to draw near to you and begin to show you even more things about people around you and give you a courage to speak into their lives, words that will bring them life. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you, love. Yeah. Yeah, it's powerful. Grace, I'd like to just prophesy over you, if that's okay. Could you stand, please? Grace, you too have come through a difficult season, difficult time in your life. But I just think and I believe and I see that your name is not happenstance. That God's grace has been multiplied towards you. That God has seen your heart. He knows the things that you struggle with and things that you are dealing with, but the Lord wants you to know that He's drawing near to you. And God has something above and beyond all you could ask, think, or hope for your life. And the Lord's going to begin to change the way you view your circumstances, change the way you view your life. You know, there's been times where you look at a situation and you cannot see the good, but you're coming into a season where you look at a situation, you won't be able to see the bad. That the Spirit of the Lord is going to begin to take over and to, not take over, that's not a great right word, but begin to help you to see the good, help you to see the positive, help you to see the things that are for your benefit and for your welfare. And you all already have an amazing capacity and an amazing compassion for people. And so the Lord says, if you begin to spend your lives on others, your life on others, I'm going to begin to spend my life on you. And so real key to your growth as a Christian is to find those who are in difficult circumstances, situations, and you'll be able to find them because they're going to come to you. And then you to share the love and the life and the grace of God on your lives into their lives. And this is something that doesn't come hard for you. This is easy for you. And so I want to encourage you just to step out there. Be courageous. The people that you see that you know are going through difficult times and the ones that God shows you, just to be courageous. Step into their lives. Speak that word of grace to them. Encourage them. Have compassion. Cry with those who cry. Laugh with those who laugh. Mourn with those who mourn. And the Lord's going to begin to build you up as you build others up, okay? And you're going to begin to see the good in every situation. Even when the situation seems bad, you begin to see the good. Yeah, it'd be like a little trail, a thread through a storm. You'll be able to take that thread through that storm and really find the Lord in a precious, new, and special way. Amen? Amen. Grace, you're awesome. Yeah, and just one more. Christopher and grace. Where are you guys? You guys stand up. Another grace. I think the Lord may be emphasizing grace today. Christopher Grace, Christopher and Grace. I don't think your middle name's not Grace, is it, Christopher? Good, fantastic. That's even better news. The Lord brought you guys here by divine appointment. You were looking, but God had already been looking for you. You were searching, but God had already found something for you. And there was a sense that when the two of you walked into this place and began to experience what God was doing in your life as a result of being here, you just felt like, you know what, this is a place where we need to put our roots down. This is a place where we need to be. And, you know, when I look at the two of you, it's hard to see one without the other. I mean, you guys make an amazing team, and it's one who is more given to reason. And not that you're both very reasonable people, so I don't mean that you're not, but one who's a little more given to reason and to discussing it all, and the other one who's given more to just being spontaneous and just following the flow, going in the flow. That's a good thing. That's a very good thing, because you both can not only encourage one another, feed off one another, but you both can really help the other and be a blessing to the other, because together the two of you can cover a wider range than either one of you could handle by yourself. And Christopher, I just see that the Lord's hand is really upon you. I think that I know that you're taking your board license, bar, that's what you call it. And and I just want you to know that not only are you going to pass it, but you're going to pass it with flying colors. And that the Lord has already prepared for you a place that not only will you be able to practice law, but a place where you can learn, a place where you can be brought into really the calling that is really upon your life. And so you don't need to have any stress about it. You don't need to have any worry. Just do what it is you do, the due diligence. And God says, I'll prepare a way for you. I've already prepared the way. Just follow me in it. And I just see the two of you really as a pillar in this church, especially among your age group, but even more so as an example to all of us of what a great marriage, or what a great life, or what a life sold out to Christ really looks like. And I just see strength on you, strength and honor. And I just think that the days ahead for you, I believe the Lord's saying to me that the days ahead for you are going to be some of the best days of your life, and that everything God has put in your heart is going to come to pass as you press into Him. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you guys. I've been talking about making room for the Holy Spirit. We talked about creating the right atmosphere with sound biblical teaching, an atmosphere of expectation, being intentional ministering to the Lord, being intentional ministering to one another. Last week, we talked about the demonstration of the Spirit, having the right attitude, the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Why? So that our faith will not just rest on the wisdom of men, but your faith will rest upon the power of God, the life of God, that God is transcendent, He's alive, He's real, He wants to move mightily in our hearts and in our lives, and as a result of that, He wants to be real for you in a powerful way. In the same way Jesus was available to the people of His time, the Holy Spirit is available to the people of our time. And so we want to be people who make room for the Holy Spirit. The last chapter of the book of Luke covers the resurrection of Christ through His ascension, through Him ascending into heaven. And we're going to look at that today. And so if you'll turn your Bible to Luke chapter 24, we're going to look at the last chapter of Luke. Now, Luke is an amazing writer. Luke has the wordiest of all the gospel presentations, Matthew, Mark, Luke. Those three Gospels are called the Synoptic Gospels. They're basically synonyms of one another, emphasizing different parts, pieces, and things of the ministry of Jesus Christ. And then you have the book of John, which is totally different, where he really just anchors in on the last couple of weeks of his life and really presents Jesus as God. And so those are the four Gospels. So Matthew, Mark, Luke, and then Luke also is a writer of the book of Acts. So Luke makes an argument beginning in the book of Luke, his letter. It says basically that, look, here is the life and times of Jesus Christ, and I'm going to lead you to the end of the gospel, to the beginning of the church, the life and times of the people who followed Jesus and who knew him and who established the church in ancient days. So Luke is part one of a two-part episode. It's acts as a sequel to Luke. How about that? And so we're going to be reading in the prequel today in Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 4. It happened as they were greatly perplexed about this. Perplexed about what? Well, they'd been to the tomb and the stone was rolled away. There was nobody in it. Jesus was gone. His body was gone. And so it happened that they were very perplexed about this. And as they were very perplexed, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but he's risen." So I've been preparing the last couple of weeks, reading over these passages, letting them sink down into my heart, my spirit. That's one of the things that the Lord asked me. He said, "Why do you, Joe, seek the living among the dead?" I think we all have a tendency to seek dead religion. Why? Because we can sort of predict and control kind of how much commitment we want to create in our lives. We have a tendency to seek dead works. What that means is that we try to do something to gain God's favor, or we try to position our lives in such a way that God will be happy with us, with the idea that if we get it positioned like that, then he will be happy with us. But if we don't, then we'll have to try something else. Let me just tell you something. God's already happy with you. He loves you. He loves you. But we have a tendency to seek dead works. We have a tendency to seek dead religion. And so the angel asks him, says, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? You will not find the living among the dead." They're dead. It's something different. Verse 10 says, "And it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with him who told these things to the apostles." I think this is something that we read over and we miss the significance of it. It's women many times who lead the charge in spiritual things. And look, I'm not going to make excuses for any guys. I just think girls are better tuned in many times. They're just better tuned in to the things of the Spirit. I'm not saying that they're more spiritual. I'm just saying they're more tuned in to the things of the Spirit. And they're less inhibited about moving in the things of the Spirit. I was thinking about that passage in John chapter 3. John chapter 3, of course, is verse 16, is the most famous verse in the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, whosoever should believe of him would have eternal life." But verse 8 of John chapter 3 says this: "The wind blows, and you hear the sound of it, but you neither know where it came from or where it's going. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit of God." Born-again people are like the wind. You hear the sound of what they're saying, but you don't know where they came from, nor do you know where they're going. Nancy's a great, my wife. She's not here today. She's in Houston with her boyfriend, my son, Joe, and her three grandchildren. And her daughter-in-law, and so she's down there having a great time with them, and I'm glad she's there, glad she's having fun. But Nancy is like that. I mean, you hear her, you got no clue where she came from or where she's going to. But she's born of the Spirit of God. Yeah. And there's something about the, I don't know the exact word for it, but just the spontaneousness of that. That's life-giving. That brings joy to your heart. That brings excitement to you. It's not very reasonable sometimes, but the things of the Spirit are not reasonable things sometimes. They're different. They're different. And so I love it that it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, the mother, Mary, the mother of James, and other women with them who told the apostles that his body was not there. Their words seemed to them like idle tales of nonsense. And I just want to stop right there again. I mean, sometimes the things of the Spirit may be nonsensical. They have a sense to them. They just not have a sense to them of the senses that you're employing. That makes sense. But it seemed like nonsense to them, idle tales. And they did not believe the women. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb. Stooping down, he saw the linen clothes laying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. Verse 13 says, there were two of them that were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And as they talked together of all the things that had happened, so it was that while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. One of the things that I think we have to come to grips with as spiritual people is that sometimes we have filters built by the things that we think, the way that we think, the way that we see life, the way that we've experienced life, that keep us from seeing the things of the Spirit. We just have these filters. But the word here implies that their eyes were restrained. Now, were they restrained by the filters, or were they restrained by God himself? Ultimately, it was God who restrained their eyes. But it says their eyes were restrained so that they did not know Jesus. So two guys walking down the road. It's 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they're walking down the road. And as they're walking down the road together, they get caught up in this conversation, and they begin to reason about Jesus. Why did he have to die? How was his grave sealed? How did he come out of the grave? Where did they take him? Where is he? Well, what are some of the possibilities? Well, maybe the Lord took him, like Elijah was taken. And they began to reason and talk about it. They were so engrossed in the conversation that Jesus himself showed up right beside them and began to walk and talk with them. But the Bible says that their eyes were restrained. They could not see that it was Jesus. And in the same way, our eyes have been restrained. And we can't see it when Jesus speaks to us. Do you know why? Because a lot of times he uses a flawed human vessel to speak his word to our lives. And we don't see it. We're restrained. Because we're dull of hearing, slow to believe. And so their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. Verse 25, just skip down to there. After they tell the story and they talk a little about it, he says to them, "O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken." I don't know about you, but I don't want to be slow of heart anymore. I want to be quick to believe. I want to be quick to believe. I want every possibility. I don't want to be known as the skeptic, the doubter. I don't want to just be comfortable in my little world and not open it up big enough for something that'll stretch my faith. And so he says, number one, you guys are foolish. And number two is that you're slow of heart to believe in what the Scriptures have already told you. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. Wow. Wouldn't you love to have been in that conversation? Jesus took all the Scriptures beginning in Moses. Moses is Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Beginning in Moses, going through all the prophets, he expounded upon with them the Christ of who he was. Wow, boy, I wish we'd heard that conversation. Man, that CD would sell for a lot these days, wouldn't it? I wish we could have been on that. Well, hey, guess what? You are. Say, well, I wish we had a text of everything he said to them. You do. Well, I wish we'd known exactly what he was talking about. You have it. The problem is, with us, is the same problem that they had. We're foolish, and we're slow of heart to believe what the scriptures say. We're foolish because we don't study them. And we're slow of heart that when we do study them, we don't believe them. And so we have everything that Jesus, that those guys had that day, okay? Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things, entered into his glory, and beginning at Moses, all the prophets expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Verse 28 says, then they drew near the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. I mean, they're walking along, it's getting dark, and they've reached Emmaus, and he turns and says, see you guys later, I'm gone. And they constrained him. They said, whoa. They constrained him, saying, verse 29, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with him, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Verse 31, then their eyes were opened. Up until this point, their understanding had been closed. Their eyes, even after he expounded from all the scriptures, they still couldn't see him. Even after he explained to them that the Christ had to suffer and die, and on the third day be raised, they couldn't see him. Even though they'd walked with this guy, even though they'd known him before, even though they'd been with him, they still couldn't see him. But something happened as a result of him sitting at the table with them that the Bible says he took bread, he blessed it. That means he prayed over it, he spoke to it, he blessed it. And then he broke the bread and then he served it. That wording is not just found here in Luke 24, but it's also found in several of the gospel accounts of the Last Supper. That Jesus took the bread, that he blessed it, that he broke it, and he served it. It's also found in the feeding of the 5,000. That when Jesus got the loaves and the fishes, that he took the bread, he blessed the bread, he broke the bread, he served the bread. And this is precisely what he wants to do in our lives. He is the bread of life. And so he wants to take our lives and bless us. Speak over us the blessings of being a child of God. Speak over us the blessings of knowing him, having a relationship with him. And bless us. Bless us with a destiny, a future, a plan that he has for our lives. And bless us. And then the Bible says that he broke the bread. He allows us to be broken in places in our lives so that we can be served to others. What are we broken of? We're broken of that selfishness, that idea that it's all about us. It's all about us eating the blessed bread ourselves. No, the idea is the bread gets in you and you become one with it, and then you can begin to be a blessing to others by serving others. So it came to pass, as he sat at the table with him, that he took bread, he blessed and broke it and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished immediately from their sight. So typical Jesus. The second we saw him, he's gone. He's gone. God wants to open our eyes. One of the dangers that we face as finite human beings is thinking that we can think like an infinite God. Thinking we got it together. Thinking we really understand. We really get it. But you know, I don't care how much you understand, there's a lot left to be understood. There's a lot left to be understood. I've heard it said now, I've experienced it with my life. When I was a young Christian, I knew a lot. I was smart. I knew how God worked. I knew how he dealt with people. I knew how he messed people up. I knew all that stuff. But the older that I've gotten, the less I'm sure of. Now, that may sound weird, but what I mean by that is there's fewer and fewer things that I'm willing to die for. There's several, but the ones I'm willing to die for, I'm really willing to. I mean, Jesus is God, no question about it. He was raised from the dead. He is alive, no question about that. Right? He redeemed me. He saved me. He forgave me. He set me free. I go to the cross for any of those things. But there's a lot of things, a lot of nuances of the scriptures that, you know what? I want to be shown. Jesus said, let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Why is it that little kids are an example for us? Because they are teachable. And here's a great question for you to think about. Are you teachable? Are you teachable? Are you willing to learn something new, see something new? See something that you've been looking at all your life in one way and see it another way. Some of you have seen your spouse so long one way that it's almost impossible for you to see him another way except God moving your life. And so we want to be able to have our eyes opened, right? And so that we can know him. Bible says in verse 32, and they said to one another, did our heart not burn within us while he talked with us on the road, while he opened the scriptures to us? One of the great ways we know that we're close to Jesus is something's happening in our heart, something's going on here. It's a tenderness. Last night I was on an airplane. I flew back from Memphis. I went to see my parents for a couple of days. And I was flying back from Memphis, and it wasn't long enough to see a whole movie, but I started watching a movie. It's called Instant Family. Anybody seen that movie? Yeah. Instant Family. What they were talking about is the plight of foster children. And this couple that decided they were going to foster a family, three kids that were all brothers and sisters, and the adventure of doing that. I found myself heaving, crying over some of the things that were said in that movie. And I was sitting on a row by myself, so I was thankful because I realized that, you know, after a few minutes of crying, I'm talking about crying where you just shake like that, you know, and you're trying to wipe your eyes real quick so nobody will see the tears coming out of your eyes, and I'm just shaking, crying. And the lady behind me reached up, tapped on the shoulder, she said, are you okay? I was so embarrassed. I got something caught in my throat. Yeah, it was my heart up in my throat. Did our hearts not burn with us? Did it not? And so, let's see where we're at now. He says, did our heart not burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour. They ran back to Jerusalem 7 miles. They found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together saying, the Lord is risen indeed. He's appeared to Simon. And they told about the things that had happened on the road and how he became known to them through the breaking of the bread. I want to stop right there again on the breaking of the bread and just encourage every person in here to have someone over for a meal. Just have somebody. Just make it a goal between now and the end of summer. It's just summer just started now. And have somebody over for the end of the meal. Because there's something holy about eating a meal together. There's something amazing that happens in there. There's a revelation that comes as a result of that that's meaningful. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, peace to you. But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. Well, I guess so. Think about that just for a moment. I mean, this is flesh and blood Jesus, and somehow he disassembles himself, walks through the wall, and reassembles himself. Yeah, I would think I saw a ghost too. And so they were terrified. They were frightened, supposed they had seen a spirit. Verse 38, and he said to them, why are you troubled and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold, look, my hands, my feet, it's I myself, handle me, see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he then showed him his hands and his feet. But while they still didn't believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, have you any food here? So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. What was he trying to say to them? I'm not a spirit. I'm flesh and blood. A spirit doesn't have a flesh and blood, bones and skin, body. But I do. Look, touch Touch the holes in my hands. Look at my feet. Give me something to eat and I'll eat it. It's not going to just go in my mouth and fall on the floor. Right? Because I'm a body. I'm real. And so the Bible said even then they still didn't believe for the joy. They were very excited about it. It was awesome what was going on there. But they still didn't believe it was Jesus. They were amazed, marveling. That a lot of times when you create an atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in people's lives, we get excited. It's awesome. We love to see it. But we don't believe he can move in our lives. We think it's for them. When they, well, you know, they, you know how they are. They, you know how they are. And so we think it's for them. And so what do? We restrict the Spirit's activity in our own lives, but we're happy for everybody else. We're just saying, well, that's very admirable. Well, it's nice, but it's not going to get you what you need from God. And so it says for the joy, they still couldn't believe. They marveled. So that's when he took the food and ate it in their presence. Verse 44. So Jesus said to them, these are the words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Everything that's written in the Old Testament about the Christ has been fulfilled. And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Are you getting this now? Without Jesus revealing himself, revealing the scriptures to us, illuminating the truth of the word, we will miss it. No matter how hard we study, no matter how much we know, no matter how much we can quote. Because it is a spiritual thing. This book, when you read it, it reads you. If you read it just to check the box, you get the box checked. If you read it to get a little nugget for the day, you get a nugget for the day. But if you read it to find Jesus in it, you will find Jesus in it. Because as you read it, it reads your heart. As you look at it, it looks at you. As you move towards it, it moves towards you. It's alive. Think, wow, this book's alive. Yeah, it's alive. It's life-changing. It's powerful. It's not the ink written on the pages. It's what the words convey to us and what we do with them as a result of them. So he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, it is written, and thus it is necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses to these things. This is the mission statement for every believer in the Church of Jesus Christ. Right there. This is it. That we be empowered witnesses. Thus it was written, for Jesus to suffer, for Jesus to rise from the dead, and that we're to preach repentance, share it with our lives, with our words, with our teaching, with our preaching, with our friendships, at our dinner table, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all the nations, all the ethnic peoples of the world, beginning at Jerusalem. You're witnesses of it. What is he saying? You just heard me say it. You just witnessed what I said. You got it now. I've moved it from me to you. Right? He says, verse 49, but behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but stay, tarry, abide in the city of Jerusalem until you're endued, until you are given, until you have power from upon high. So let me give you the vision of your life. The vision of your life is that Jesus paid the price for all your sins, past, present, and future. That with Jesus, accepting him into your heart, he remits and forgives all your sins. When you turn to him with a full and whole heart and begin to change the way that you think and the way that you live. But here's one thing you need to be able to accomplish that so that all the nations, all the world, all the ethnic peoples will hear. Just this one simple thing. Stay still until you have the power poured out on you. Don't move. Just hang right there. Just chill. Just wait. Just make room for the Spirit of God to come into your life. Verse 50 says, and he led them out as far as Bethany. took them out of Jerusalem, up the winding path of the Mount of Olives, over the top of the Mount of Olives, and down into the village of Bethany. Bethany was the same place that Lazarus was raised from the dead. And so he lifted up his hands, he blessed them, and it came to pass that while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. Whoa. But we just read past that, no big deal. No, dude, he was standing right there talking to all of them, and all of a sudden, he was separated, and the next thing we saw is somebody's carrying him up to heaven. Flesh and blood. When I was a kid, we only had three networks in television, ABC, NBC, CBS. And the Apollo space program was a huge deal. It captured the world. Because they had three astronauts in this little capsule, but they were on top of the most powerful rocket that had ever been made, the Saturn V rocket. And so we used to get up. It didn't matter if they lifted off in the middle of the night or in the morning or in the afternoon. We had our TV on. We were glued to it because when they said, 5, 4, engines ignited, 2, 1, liftoff. We have liftoff. And I'm just telling you, even today, I almost thought, wow, it was so awesome. And one time they had a night liftoff. And I mean, that rocket lit up the world where it was. I mean, it was amazing. I mean, you know, they had cameras perched inside the capsule, and you could see the guys' heads going like this. You know, they were like 14, 15 G's. I mean, they were just plastered to their seats. But it was wild to see it. That ain't nothing compared to Jesus being parted from them and up he went into heaven. Because Jesus didn't light up the part of the world that he was in. He's the light of the whole world. He's the light of the whole world. He was parted from them, carried up into heaven. Verse 52 says, they worshiped him. They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. And they were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. You know what a life-giving church looks like when they're waiting upon the Holy Spirit? It is a church that worships God. It is a church that is filled with joy. It is a church that praises and blesses God. And that we shall do until every last one of us receives the power and the life of God. What have we learned from Luke 12? Number one, we've learned that Jesus is alive. He presented himself many, many infallible proofs. He presented himself to many, many people. But he's back from the dead. He's alive. And we will not find the living among the dead. He's not there. You got to look at places where alive. You got to be able to look at someone's eyes. Hear the countenance of their voice. See the passion of their heart. And somewhere in there, God begins to show us Jesus. You see, one of the reasons we don't see Jesus when he comes right next to us and speaks to us and we don't get it's him is our eyes are constrained, our understanding is blocked because Jesus is using a broken vessel to speak to us. And we just cannot see that he would do that. We'll not find the living among the dead. Verse 3. Here's the third thing we know. Only Jesus can open our understanding. Think about writing my own Bible. That'd be verse 3 right there. Number 4, we got to wait upon the Lord. Be filled with his power. Number 5, a life-giving church is a worshiping, joy-filled church. Blesses and honors God. That's what we're looking for right here. That's who we want to be. Joy-filled. Excited. Want to be passionate about the things of God. Want to be expectant that God's going to work in my life. God's going to move in my heart. God's going to do something in me. We want that kind of anointing from God that it breaks the yoke of unbelief in our lives. That sense that God's with us, power. And I believe that's where we're headed because we're going to make room for the Spirit of God. Let's all stand together. We finished Luke's testimony about the life, the times, and the ministry of Jesus. And we're about to move into his testimony of the life, the times, and the ministry of the church. Next week, we'll start in Acts chapter 1. And so get ready because it's power-packed. And let me just say this to you. It's going to rock everything that you thought about the church being. It's going to rock it. It's going to rock. So just get ready. Get ready. I'm going to open the altar this afternoon. The pastors and leaders who are here to pray, they'll just come on up. And here's what I want to open the altar for. I want to open the altar for you. For you to make room for the Holy Spirit in your life. For you to come aside. You see, if you need prayer, you know you need prayer, but you're just waiting to find the right time. You will never find the right time. You have to make the time. And so what I decided to do and what we thought about is that we'll just make the time for you right here. Right here. And to the ability that you can humble your heart and say, I need help, it's the ability that you'll get help because as you read the word, it reads you. If something that you want, it's able to give you. But if you don't articulate what it is you want, are you afraid to say it, are you embarrassed to have it out there, then guess what? Things are going to stay exactly the same. And so I just want to open up the altar. I want to open for those of you who just say, you know what, I want my heart prepared for more of the Lord. Those of you that need to repent today and just say, you know what, I want to repent of a proud attitude. I want to repent of just feeling like I, you know, got it all together and I know everything's going on and that there's things in my life that God needs to touch and fix and I need help. I want you to tap your neighbor just kind of on the arm, right? Just tap him on the arm and then tap him again and have to look at me when I'm talking, tapping on you. Just say that. Look at me when I'm tapping on you, right? And just say that. You need help. Tell him. Tell him, you need help. That's right. You need help. Yes, because the truth is we all need help. We all need help. And so today, there's something you need help in. Your health, your finances, your marriage, your relationships, your work. It is something that you need help with your kids. It's something you need God's help with your life. If something you need God's help with your spirituality, if there's something that you need God's help with, then what I want you to do is just come up here and get somebody to help you. What are they going to help you do? They're going to help you pray. And they're going to help you. As you make room for God, God is going to come into that vacuum and be a part of the equation to help you. Amen? Amen. So just move out of your seat now and say, we need help. Wives, you may just need to turn to your husband and say, you know what? We need help. Husbands, you may turn to your wife and say, you know what? We need help. We just need help. We need God to help us. We need God to help us. Dr. Carmen, could you and Ginger help us minister, please? Thank you. We need help. We need help with our lives. You may be in trouble today. You may find yourself in some kind of issue, some kind of trouble. Maybe you got trouble with the law or trouble with the in-laws or you got trouble. About the same, isn't it? I want you just to come. Come, let us pray for you. Come, let us pray for you. Come, let us pray for you. For everyone else, if you're good, you can be dismissed. Love you and appreciate you so much. And I just pray that God will touch you this week. In a powerful way. You'll come back next week with a new level of expectation. So God bless you. But if you're here today and you want to be prayed for, don't leave. This is what we do. This is what we want to do. All you guys, if you just come on up forward. Just come on. Just come on. Stand right there. We'll get somebody. Just come all the way here. Yeah. Fantastic. Yes. Thank you, dear. Come on. You come on. Come on, sir. Fantastic. Fantastic. You know what? I want to pray for you at the end, but I want y'all to pray for other people right now. So just come on and pray for people, okay? Good. Yeah, just come right here. Just turn around and just pray for people. Very good. You can catch this lady right here. She needs healing in her body. Thank you. Thank you. Macy. Turn me on. Hey, Macy, y'all come up here. Come right here.